Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Topic Thunder. It is Monday, July 27th. It is episode 250. 250, and it is a perfect episode for this landmark occasion because, guys, Dre is back. He is back completely, and all I care about at this point is now he has more 3 points made in his just 2 days back than Ben Simmons does in his entire career. And that just makes me happy.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. He's looked great. He's looked great in his time he's had in the last few minutes of each game. He's been coming off with the bench unit. I've overreacted to the fullest extent. I think he's going to be a shooter to some extent, given the fact that he's been making his shots and his stroke looks smoother than it did previously. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah.
By the way, we have Jerry and Dylan. And Dylan is in a truck right now. And... He'll be coming in and out as he does his job because this is the working man pod. We're all working our real jobs right now. And
I'm all the way with team, doing business and handling things. And I was just waiting on an intro, Tierney. That's about.
I always just kind of skip over it at this point. I forget. I just assume people will figure out your voices.
Oh man, that's so funny! I love it.
Yeah, we got Jerry Downtowns.
Wrapped up in the Dre hype.
Jerry Downtowns and Dylan Thunder Chats is here. Yeah, Dre's back. I'm just excited. I think we're all excited.
So I'm not gonna lie. Like this whole thing brought tears to my eyes at least.
Oh
twice.
Yeah, the first time he walked in, it was awesome.
Yeah, that right there, and then whenever he made that second shot yesterday. He was walking off talking mess to the Philly bench, you know, as he's screaming at him. That brought a tear to my eye too, because, and I made a tweet about it, you know, you want your 3-and-D guys to be cocky, you know, mm-hmm. you want them to be that way and be confident, and he's definitely got it. And Dylan's mentioned his shot improvement, you know, the hitch is out and all that good stuff. So, I'm just excited. I'm so ready to see him clamp up like somebody's first instead of it being their third, because I think he can still do it. But other than mm-hmm. that, it's been one hell of a weekend watching him come back.
Yeah. And, sorry, go ahead, Dylan.
No, I was just going to say what I love to see is like before the dude even touched the basketball and he came on the court, he's moving really well for mm-hmm. a guy who his knee just like, he just blew up a spot on his knee for like the past 2.5 years. Like he's moving really well, really fluidly, you know, there's no limp or complications or anything like that. And you can see when he chased down that block and pinned it on the glass, like his athleticism's still there too. So
mm-hmm. yeah,
that's all things we'd love to see.
Yeah. I love how he still invites people to go around him so he can just smack their crap off the board.
Harden does it every time and he's just like, all right, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that.
I don't know how many times you're gonna keep falling for it, dude, but yeah, my guest.
I want you to go around me. That's what I want. Okay. It's not the knee, it's what I want.
Yes.
It's like when Rondo used to poke the ball out from behind somebody every time they go by him.
Yep.
Dre just wants to swat the crap.
Yeah. He's got such great length. And yeah, he's I don't know, what percentage back would you say he is, like, to his old self?
I don't know if you can put a percentage on it right now. I mean, we're talking...
It is a scrimmage game, so...
I'm talking, you know,
not being there for 2 years, right? Or 909 days, if you want to be exact.
It's a lot of days.
Yeah, a lot of days.
I think it's really hard to. Now, am I jumping on the hype train about this? And I think that he can be 95-ish percent of himself. Then, yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's safe to say he's like in the 80-85% is back. Like he even said, you know, he had a lot of nerves in that first game, and the competition level from game one to game two in terms of who he was guarding was a lot different. Like he was guarding Brad Wanamaker and Carson Edwards. And in the Philly game, you know, he was guarding Alec Burks, but Alec Burks was giving us buckets that entire game.
It was his revenge game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Thunder legend Alec Burks.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I remember as Dre hit that corner three, like there was no smile, nothing. Like, dude just pulled up the shorts, got down a defensive stance, and said, "Let's go."
Yeah.
He didn't let Burks score. So, I mean, I think each game, each game he plays, the more back he's going to get. And I feel like. It was crazy, man, because, you know, if you're watching that game, we're down 24 points. And Baisley, you know, he goes on a scoring tear. I'm like, oh, wow, Baisley's going to be the guy that brings us back. And then Moose scores 9 points in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Mike Muscala is the guy bringing us back. And then, no, it was Dre. It was freaking Dre. Andre Robertson, the guy that shot 27% from three-point line for his career, hits the two biggest shots of the game. Like it's just ridiculous, man.
He's currently 75% from three, which is absurd.
I'm pretty sure him and Dort lead the team in shooting right now.
Yeah, Dort went 2-for-4 second game, and then he went 1-for-4 yesterday against Boston. So he's like 3-for-8. So that's still really good. It kind of felt like Robertson was put in garbage time because they were down by so much. I think in the third quarter, they're down. It was like 72-51, something like that. It looked like it was over. And then, it was obviously not the starting five for Philadelphia that was in when they came back, but it also wasn't our starting five. And, you know, the role players show that they can hold their own in a situation where they need to. And not just that, they really went on a run. The one thing I've been confused about is that why is Dennis getting so much playing time if he's not going to be here when they start?
You know, I was thinking myself. Sorry, Dale.
No, you're good.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I mean, you got to think about it. Like, even though Dennis is going to be, like, going away, this is still an acclimation period for him, too. Like, he still has a lot of rust that he has to shake off as much as all the other guys do. So, like, it is about catching rhythm.
It's just weird that he's, like in, what was it? I think this is the Philadelphia game. He was, he had the second most shot attempts on the team besides Shea. So, it was like, I don't know if you should be taking that much away from everybody else if you're going to be gone for pretty much the entire 8-game run. But I guess that's Dennis, so Dennis is going to do Dennis. What are you going to do?
Like, just to expand on what Dylan was saying there, like, the bubble time, like, whenever you have to come back in, seems a lot less than what we all initially thought.
Yeah.
And
especially if you're negative the whole time.
Like, yeah,
you test negative the whole time.
And he's not going to be putting himself in any high risk situation. So I really feel like it's going to be quicker and, you know, he's going to need some sort of rhythm out there, you know, running 5-on-5. And I mean, he hasn't been the hottest, you know, since these last two games. So I think anything, you know, going into that playoff session where he'll probably be back will be completely worth it.
Yeah, he went 3-for-13 yesterday, so wasn't shooting too well.
No, it hasn't. I think on the first game either, he didn't shoot that well, unless he shot really well and I just missed most of it. But I know yesterday was bad.
He was 2-for-4 the first game, so.
Okay. Good. Yeah. I'll take it. But it's just important, you know, it's really important. And I'm just glad he has the ability to just to be there with the guys during this time, and especially get Dort and everybody pointed in the right direction, because, I mean, he is going to be gone. So they need to have some sort of like, hey, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. This is what you should do. It works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And yeah, hopefully, like you said, the restart time into the bubble is a lot shorter, because I know Zion is already back, I believe, and he's going to be with the team pretty soon because he tested negative the whole time. It's not going to be the 14-day quarantine like we all thought. So, you know, hopefully the same with Dennis. But, you know, somebody who has been playing well the last two games, Steven Adams. Steven Adams is fresh. He is his full self. My gosh, he's bullying everybody out there.
Well, it doesn't help that he hasn't had really any good like centers that he's had to play against so far.
True. Against Boston, he was going up against like Daniel Theis.
Yeah, whatever his name is. You have Al Horford, who plays as a four, you know, in the Philadelphia scheme over there. So he hasn't had good competition.
Yeah, Reed was out.
He's straight up just been a monster on the boards. His timing on the screen setting and then being the ball man on some of these passes is so much better than what it was on the break. I don't know if you guys caught a lot of that, like his hey, I'm going from here to here, or I need to do this or accomplish this out of this. Like, it's his decision making, I guess, is what I'll break it down to, is so much I don't know, just a good decision. He's really just made a bad decision so far. I don't know what else I can say about it. He's just made really good decisions all the way around.
Yeah, he's a smart center. He went 8 for 11 the first game, 5 for 8 this yesterday. 28 points in those two games. So he's averaging 8 rebounds in those two games as well. So just exactly what you want to see from a fresh Steven Adams. Granted, like you said, it's not the best centers, but tomorrow, we play the Trailblazers, and Nurkic is back.
Yep.
So that will be an interesting one, because I think historically he has not been the best against him. So that'll be some good competition, a little litmus test to see how fresh he is on the court. But yeah, I mean,
you guys remember that? Playing the Blazers because they have no chance of making the playoffs, and that's how they set up these scrimmages, is to play teams that you wouldn't play in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's still funny to me. We're supposed to play either Eastern teams or Western teams that don't have a shot, and it's like, yep, Oklahoma City versus Trailblazers makes sense.
Yep, love it.
Hell yeah. All right. And they're 0-2 in the scrimmages, so it just validates that even more.
Yep, love it.
Yeah, so we play the Trailblazers tomorrow. Do you guys have anything else from those two games before we move on?
Andre. He's so hot.
Nader looked good before he got concussed.
Concussed. Nader's been a good shooter, and people tend to forget, like, Nader's a good shooter. He's shooting, like, I think, like 37-38% this year, which I believe is, like, second or third on the team behind Dennis and somebody
it's up
else.
There.
But like, he's been really good. And the one thing that I really noticed yesterday, more so than the Celtics game, is you got to see a little bit of Shea making out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got moves.
He was creating a lot for his teammates. I think he ended up with 5 assists. I think the Thunder Twitter account tweeted out he had, like, 6. So there was a couple that, you know, he probably could have been close to assists, but – the chemistry that he's showing that he has with Steven Adams is really encouraging to see. And it kind of makes me think that, you know, as Chris Paul and Danilo Gallinari find a way off this team, I think, you know, despite or in addition to the culture he sets and, you know, how much he sacrificed for this team, I think Steven Adams will find his way in the future plans for the Thunder just because his chemistry with Shea.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere anyways.
He just turned 27. He's a little boy.
But he's gonna take a lower deal. Like, he has to. You know, the value for centers has gone way, way down, and he's gonna be going into his 30s. So I think it's completely – we're retaining him.
He seems like a guy that would actually just take a lower deal because he likes OKC and just for no reason else. So
yeah, well, for that, and then you know, to expand on what Dylan was saying about Shea, like this dude can create more space than what he could before the break. Like as far as, all right, one dribble, make a move. What was that? He pulled something nasty. I can't remember who it was on. It was in the Sixers game where he just pretty much crossed somebody up and he was past him in one, you know, one step, and he was shooting jumpers now. You know, before he was wanting to get all the way into the paint or three. There was none of that mid-range game. So you're seeing a little bit more of that, I feel like. Or maybe I just don't remember it since it's been so freaking long that basketball's been on. But I don't remember Shea really being a mid-range guy. You know, he sort of left that up to Chris Paul. And a lot of the guys, I noticed it in the Celtics game, where a lot of players, Danilo, for instance, was floating to areas that Shea was give him a good angle to pass up out of, because Shea does have a habit of, you know, getting himself in the air, you know, in an oh crap moment. And usually it's either a bad shot or a turnover of some sort whenever it is that. And the guys did a good job of just getting to open spots and bailing him out. Because I think at least three of those assists that Dylan was talking about came off of just busted types of plays that he was trying to make towards the basket. So he's just, kid's growing. Kid's growing up for our eyes.
He sure is. I was hoping for a little bit better in the shooting department with him yesterday. He didn't shoot particularly well, but his, for one, he's like more confident than ever, I think. And that's like the one thing we've been consistently chirping him about, is not being aggressive enough prior to the stoppage. And he seems to be doing a lot more of that. He seems to be driving much more. He led the team in field goal attempts that game, which, even though he missed a lot of them, I'm fine with that. He shot better. He had 17 points in the first game, so he was definitely getting his shots in there, and he led the team with Steven Adams in points. So, I mean, confidence-wise, I love it. I just hope he can kind of get his shot down a little bit more, because I think if he does, I was actually having this conversation yesterday. I think there was a discussion between who's better right now, Shea or Tatum. And it's tough because Shea, I think Tatum beats him in shooting, but I think Shea beats him in finishing. And so then it's just like, who do you think, like, it just matters, like, which one is a bigger gap for the two. So I think that argument is pretty interesting to be like, right now, who would you take, Shea or Tatum? Obviously Thunder fans are going to probably say Shea. I get that. But I think the two of those guys are in pretty similar areas where, like, they're not quite fully fleshed out yet. There's still something missing in both of them. But they're both capable of getting better in those areas. So
no, I agree. I'm gonna say that right now Tatum has a better package.
Just, I would agree with that.
You know what I mean? When you're looking at what he can do on defense, what he can do on offense, the shooting, of course. But Shea's got, I'm just going to call it the rust factor, right? And I don't know what else to call it there, because it's not like an X factor, but there's just something about him where, like, you know, there's way more there than what he's gone to show. And Tatum has more or less showed me everything. Right. Like, there's, his ceiling is he's pretty much there, in my opinion. Shea isn't, like, not even close to his ceiling yet.
Right.
And their skill sets aren't that far off. Just Tatum's a little bit better right now when you look at everything. But,
and he's a year older than him, so you would expect that.
Yeah. And just the type of system that he's into, you know, just is completely different. Shea got to, you know, have a little run last year while, you know, Tatum's been starting all 3 years of his career so far.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just more opportunity. And I think Shea, we'll be talking next year about how much he's grown even more. Like, we're going to be like, holy crap, this is ridiculous. What this thing can do now. Versus Tatum, it's going to be like, oh, well, he's still being Jason Tatum.
And yeah. And a lot of non-Thunder people making this argument were like, I never expected Shai to be a 20 points per game player this year. And for Thunder fans, we're like, yeah, we totally expected this. But at the same time, we still think he's going to be even better. So it just shows like where the national expectation for him is and where he's already above that and not even close to his ceiling. So pretty much reiterating what you said, like he's not even close to his ceiling right now. But right now, I would agree. I think I have Tatum a little bit over Shai in like rankings.
It's just a little bit.
Yeah, I think I've been trying to rank, like I'm still working on this like full ranking of NBA players, and I think I have Shai 18 and I have Tatum like 16 or 15, somewhere in there. So they're very close in ranking. But one guy we didn't talk about yet before we move on, and this is a question we got from Twitter. It's from at Mr. Fisterbum. He asks, is Dort better than he was before break? So Lu Dort finally on his full contract, playing pretty significant minutes for the team in both games. Offensively, I think he's better. I think he's better than he was before break. He's been shooting the ball well. He had some nice open 3-point shots he made. Defensively, I think he's about the same. I haven't really seen a difference yet. But again, it's hard to judge defense when the baseline effort is like 75% in a scrimmage game. So, you know, that could be different for the regular season. But offensively, I do think he's been better.
Yeah, I think his decision making is right there. Got to see him for a glimpse run that second team with Dennis out.
Yeah.
And that was pretty fun. He offensively head and shoulders. I mean, just from wanting to go to the basket now, instead of it being like a clear lane or catching an oop, it's all right, I'm going to go around you and score. Sorry, cookies are done.
Nice.
But defensively, I think he's actually better too. His footwork looked a little bit more clean, less fouling.
Yeah, that's true.
That I noticed all the way was just less fouling, which is always good. Now, I don't want to attribute that to him, maybe. Maybe the refs are just a little bit slow and they need to catch up with everything. But
I think that also goes into the fact that they're not playing a full effort. Like, I just think fouling is down in general because people don't want to get hurt.
Well, did you see the foul count yesterday?
There was
three called in our game yesterday total. 40.
Let's see. So we had 18 fouls. And they had 20. They had 30 fouls. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of fouls.
That's surprising.
How many was it?
48 total.
Yeah. I knew it was over 40.
Then we had 15 the first game. Boston had 22. So yeah, I guess not. I thought they'd be a little less contact, but seems like it's not.
No, I think it's just, and if you look at him, it just hasn't been as stupid fouls, right?
He only had one foul yesterday, and then he had three or four
the first game. I remember that because one of them was frustrating because it was one of those stupid ones, but it's a lot less than what he had before.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this guy, he is just like the bulked up version of Andre Roberson with a lot more confidence on offense. I mean,
yeah, he's bulked up, a little less length, but the same amount of confidence.
Yeah. And the same amount of hunger to shut you. You know, he does not want you to score on him. So that's always good. I noticed, you know, yesterday that there was just some bad rotations on defense. And
I did notice that.
Especially in that first half, it was just terrible. And I think Billy's trying some new crap out as far as switching everything. But Dort individually, one-on-one, has gotten better. Whenever someone's in front of them, it's gotten better.
Yeah. So I can't take credit for this idea, but I really liked it. Somebody on Twitter said this. When Dennis is out, putting Dort in the backup point guard position with Dre,
that sounds
like an offense's worst nightmare. That's totally honest.
It's gonna happen, right? Yeah. I think Alex that said that.
That's probably who it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Alex who said that. And whenever you have a guy that's plus 29 scoring 6 points in a total
he was plus 29, everyone else was like minus 15.
Yeah. And you have that, and then you have Dort that's playing a big chunk of minutes guarding that other team's number one, you know, in that starting lineup, it's gonna be scary. It is gonna be freaking scary, especially whenever we just need to put the clamps down for just a little bit. You know, we don't need 20 minutes of that type of action from them. Give me 10 minutes of that a game, and it's going to have a big enough impact at the, you know, on the final score than I think any of us give it credit for sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially them too.
Yeah. I think you probably have to sneak in like Gallinari or somebody for offense, because without Dennis, it really hurts the offensive side of things, because neither Dort or Dre are particularly known for that. So maybe shake in some Gallinari, maybe some Shea as a three, or Robertson as a three.
And, I'm thinking it's going to be Shea at the one. Dort at the two. End up staggering it. Yeah, I feel like it'll be Shea at the one. He'll probably get pulled out about the 8 minute mark, get put back in at about the 4 minute mark whenever the rest of the starters come out.
Mm-hmm.
They'll flip-flop that, and then you'll have Dort at the two, Dre at the three. Don't be surprised if you see a lot more Moose, playing maybe the four or the five.
I'd love to see some more Baisley, too.
Yeah, I didn't say, or him. Maybe throwing him at the four. They've already talked about it. You know, Billy's mentioned it as far as playing him in different spots because he has grown. Just strength wise and just overall, he's just gotten better. So, I say Shea or the other lineup that you're talking about, Dort running it. And maybe, I don't know. I don't want to sound crazy, but maybe.
Do it. Yeah.
Just maybe Nader. I don't want to sound too crazy there, though. Because he could, as long as he's just a little controlled.
Yeah. Prince of Egypt. Oh, hey, Dylan's back. We're talking about potential lineups without Dennis. So what we're thinking is Shea with the bench. And then you have Dort 2, Dre 3, Baisley, Muscala 4-ish. 4-5-ish, and then like Noel. I like that line.
I'll tell you what, man. Like, I don't know about like listing a full lineup, but if you just want to keep Shea's minutes with Chris, because like I feel like they play really good together and off each other. I heard you guys talking about Lou Dort as backup point guard, because I mean that's what he played in college at Arizona State,
right?
Point guard position. And I mean, he even showed he's got a handle yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw. Everybody's talking about the reverse he had, which was nice. But
that was nice.
A nice cross on Mr. Everybody's favorite defender, Matisse Thybulle, in the open court that set up that reverse layup. So, dude's not a slash of handle on the ball. But I'll tell you what, man. Baisley was bringing the ball up the floor a couple times, kind of initiating the offense. I love the idea of a little point Baisley in my life.
Mm-hmm. Could see it.
Well, point Baisley, point Dort. I'm all right with either one of those. You know, that is if you want to keep Shea kind of with Chris Paul, because that was kind of our problem with the Russ and the Paul George things. Like, you know, it made sense to stagger them so you always had, you know, a primetime player, like, on the court. But they do the most damage together, like when they're on the floor together. And I feel like – It's similar with Chris and Shea.
Yeah.
I don't want Baisley bringing up the ball. Like, he's, good, hot
Give
flash.
Give him a chance, man. Give him a chance.
He's made some really boneheaded – I don't know if you guys saw yesterday. He had two for sure, maybe three legit just lazy passes, just lazy. And they were all picked off because he's just sitting there staring at the guy before he passes it to him. Then he's like, oh, hey, you know, passes it to him all leisurely like they're, you know, it's a softball throw.
Teenagers, man.
Yeah, I did see him make one. He was trying to make an entry pass into the post in the Sixers game. And I think there was a miscommunication because when he threw it, there was nobody there but a Celtic.
Yeah. He's just made a couple of bonehead decisions. So I'm going to say no on Baisley bringing up the ball. I feel a hell of a lot more comfortable with Dort.
Let him play through it.
Billy likes to stagger those minutes. So that's why, like, my heart keeps on leaning over to Shea, you know, running that second unit.
Yeah. I'm a fan of both. I'll be honest. I think either one would work.
For sure. I totally agree on that.
All right. So we already mentioned it, but tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central, Trailblazers going to be on TV finally. Our first Fox Sports broadcast.
Dame might not play.
Too scared for the Heat.
Yeah, he don't want none of Shea.
Wow.
And CJ McCollum looks like a great value Shea right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Dame. I just saw that he had x-rays come up negative, and they held him out of the last game. So he might very well play against us, but his status is at least questionable.
Yeah. So Trailblazers 0-2. We are 2-0. So predicting the same, more of the same. The Thunder win, the Trailblazers loss.
Who destroyed whose franchise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've had a really good really, really, really good argument with a Blazers fan who was like, oh, you guys are still salty about it. And I was just like, yeah, wow. I'm trying over here with all my draft picks and making the playoffs. And
we only talk about it because it's a good thing now. Like,
Yeah. That's
it's not salty. Like, we bring it up as like, hey, guys, this was great. Like, now we have this new generation of basketball. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those hindsight 2020 moments.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's just funny to me that Blazers fans are so freaking salty this season. Like, they are just so salty about everything. And it's just like, hey, sorry your team sucks. Like, yeah, you guys have had some injuries, but you filled those gaps pretty quickly. You know, whenever Nurkic went down, they got Whiteside pretty quick. Who else did they have that went down for a little bit?
Collins was hurt for a while.
There you go. Yep.
Slim Mello does look good. I'll give Slim Mello his credit where credit is due.
Nurkic looks really good too.
He does.
Yeah. They both look pretty nice. And then I'm loving Mello. Just never changed, dude.
He's awesome. He just always takes the same shots no matter what.
Well,
I don't think that's what he's talking about, dude.
Yeah, I'm talking about him getting boards and cussing at everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I blogged about that. That was a great moment. Yeah.
What I find that's really, really funny, I watched one of their scrimmages, and they tried to match him up against, like, a two or a three, and I don't know who's doing the matching up. Like, is it the defense that's like, oh, no, you go guard Mello, he's trash. Or if it's Terry Stotts building the offense for it to happen that way. But he's just trying to body everybody up. It's like he lost 20 pounds and he's like, yo, I'm going to back you down. You ready for this? Because that's all he did in that game that I watched. I don't think he shot one jumper. It was all layups or attempted layups. That's all it was.
The one thing I loved about that clip where he's like cussing out and you can hear it on the TV is that rebound was like, it was just him and like a few other Trailblazers next to him. There was nobody else going to get that rebound. He's like, give me that F. And then it's like, all right, dude, you got it. All right, calm down. Like, no one else was around you.
Oh, man. It's like that dude from Along Came Polly, you know, that's shooting and he's just like, with a rainbow, make it rain. And he's just missing everything. That's Mello with rebounds, though.
Come
on. See more often.
Get more of that. I just imagine him in tomorrow's game just boxing up against like Dennis, just somebody like way too small, and he's like, I got it. So We'll see how that works out. But yeah, I think it's safe to say we're all going to predict a Thunder win tomorrow.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't start out the same way as that Sixers game. I mean, yeah.
Hopefully we don't have to come back from behind again.
3-0 in the bubble.
Mm-hmm. The bubble scrimmage champs.
So do you guys feel like that the scrimmage means something or don't? I just want to hear your guys' opinion on it.
It's meant more for us than really any other team, just because we got Dre some minutes before real games happened. Like, if we didn't have this, it would be harder for Billy to like give him some time when the games are like actually mattering for seeding, basically. So I think it meant something for us for sure.
Yeah, I tend to lean the way of it means something, but like definitely don't take too much away from it. I saw a lot of tweets when we went down 24 of like, you know, against the Celtics, we're back, baby, against the Sixers. It's just a scrimmage. It means nothing. And that was the mindset of a lot of fans. And, you know, it turned out that we made the comeback and it didn't matter to begin with. But, I mean, Billy Donovan's even said, you know, there's some kind of handshake agreements between the coaches to, like, throw out certain looks so, you know, their team knows how to defend against them. Like, this is a competitive style of basketball, but it's nowhere near, you know, what we're about to experience. And like Tierney said, like, you know, this it's really important for us just because we're kind of letting Dre get his legs back. And if he keeps getting those legs back, then it's going to be a problem for the rest of the league.
He's had some really nice looking knees. Really Heck nice yeah, looking dude. Knees. Heck yeah, dude. All right. Some other news in the NBA, not related to our games. Thunder jersey names have been revealed, the changes that they're going to make. There was a lot of Black Lives Matters, a lot of equalities. But the ones I really liked in particular, Kia Kaha, Stephen Adams, is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correct, Miori for Stay Strong. I love that jersey name. It's probably one of my favorite. Hervey's having Shalom, Hebrew for peace. And then Gallinari is going to have Giotzisia. I don't think I said that correctly, but it is Italian for justice. So I love all the jersey names. I think Devin Hall and Darius Bazley decided to stick with their normal names, but everyone else chose something from the approved list by the NBA. So just wanted to mention those. Loved all of them.
The jersey stuff, I'm ready for that. I can't wait to see all that, especially after Twitter almost blew up after what the WNBA did the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see how they react to seeing these on the back of their jerseys, because some people are just going to be so butthurt about it for no apparent reason.
I think the Shea, I already probably said this, but the guy, people who make the back of the jersey names are probably really glad Shea went with equality, because it's a lot shorter than Gilgeous Alexander. So just props to him for helping out his jersey maker. Less letters on the back there helps out a lot.
In the environment, one letter at a time.
Oh yeah. And then the other thing I had was Tom Thibodeau is hired as a head coach for the Knicks. 5-year deal. Knicks are just doing Knicks things, I guess.
Dude, I just do not understand that organization. And then, two, like, it's so genius of every coach that has tried to, quote unquote, go there. They all get like monster, like lengthy deals, knowing that it's probably going to blow up with Dolan within like a year or two.
That was my question is like, how many years of the 5-year deal do you think he gets through?
Oh, Thibodeau, he's a stubborn SOB, man. So he might last the full thing. I think if you screw this up with Thibodeau, especially whenever he had the Bulls to deal with for as long as he did, and he was there and was like, quote unquote, happy. If you screw this up with him, it's definitely a Knicks thing. And if that does happen, it's 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah, that was about what I was thinking. Like, I think Dolan is going to be blown apart in like the next year, but I think Thibodeau is just going to be stubborn and make it through somehow. So he'll last like 2 years and then maybe two or three, somewhere around there. But I think there's a 0% chance he makes it through the 5-year deal. 0.0.
It's crazy to me. And their agents are just geniuses. Just geniuses. Like, no, you're not going to give me anything less than 5 years, because guess what? I'm still going to get paid no matter what.
It's crazy that Thibodeau is just hanging around. He just goes from team to team, and then teams are like, oh, we could hire this new young exciting coach, or we could just hire Tom Thibodeau again. And that's what they always do for some reason.
He's not a bad coach, man. He's just always got himself in stupid ownership positions. Like, you put him with like a good organization, like a legit one, he would be a damn good coach. I mean, he really, really would be. I mean, he was a good coach for Chicago, even though they had a, you know, front office nightmare.
Front office is crap, yeah.
Yeah, but he was a very good coach for them and took a young team and got them figured out. But, man, I don't know. He might be successful in New York, though. That, like, I was thinking about it. Like, the way that team's built, they're stupid long. They're all really, 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 really young.
They're all power forwards.
Yeah, but... I mean, look at the Sixers. You know, it can work. You know, you can run a bunch of 6'9", 6'10 dudes out there and make it work, as long as they all have a little bit of a different skill set, which that team does too. And with him being a defensive-minded coach, I mean, I feel like they can be put in some pretty good positions next year too. They're not going to, you know, make a bunch of noise, but they'll be a hell of a lot closer to the playoffs than what they were in prior years. If they don't make it, because there's going to be some teams slide off in the East here pretty soon. So maybe this is just Thibodeau's time.
And they have a lot of players that are on team option, like 1+1 team option. So they have some flexibility in the offseason to, you know, get something for Thibodeau. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's just, I saw that and I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. Knicks are just going to hire this guy and it's going to be same old, but hopefully not.
Well, at least it wasn't Jason Kidd.
Yeah, that would probably have been the worst pick.
Yeah, at least it wasn't Jason Kidd.
Yeah, that's like what every GM says. Well, at least it wasn't Jason Kidd. All right, let's get to our last segment, weird question of the day. Thank you to everyone who asked a question. But today's question comes to us from at Adikas Mason. He asks, which Thunder player, besides Adams, would win a battle with a grizzly bear? So Adams obviously is the number one pick. He would win. But the number two guy. Number two.
God.
I
had to rank these.
The problem is we don't have any other guys built like Adams. Like, our Nerlens is not he's just lengthy. Muscala is,
he's from the north though, so he might have
some experience. Yeah. And then you got Gallinari. I think he has zero experience in Italy. I don't even think they have bears there. And then you've got Baisley is probably the next biggest. He's too young.
Yeah, that bear will eat him alive.
Mm-hmm. And then who's the next? It'd be like, well, you don't have Justin Patton anymore. That was the next.
Isaiah Roby, no.
Yeah. He didn't even come with the team, so it doesn't really count.
I mean, I think Andre.
Oh yeah, Andre. I forgot.
He's probably put up a pretty good fight against the Grizzly.
Who would you pick between him and Mike?
Oh,
Mikey,
man.
Mikey boy.
I got to go with experience here.
Yeah, I think it's Mike Muscala.
I think, yeah. And even then, I think he could probably do it better than Steve, because they don't have bears in New Zealand.
Is that you're challenging Stephen Adams' ability to fight bears?
I mean, we'll find a Russian circus somewhere and see if we can make this happen.
Yeah, let's have a live stream of Steven and Mike Muscala versus individual grizzly bears.
I like it. Who else?
I was trying to think of the staff.
That's who I was thinking of too, but like Coach Bryant.
I don't think anybody has a chance on the staff. Like Presti and Billy Donovan are not gonna make it.
Billy might though, man. He seems a little kung fu-ish.
He's got a bit of a trunk on him, but I don't know.
he might just kick the bear in the nuts and then gouge his eyes and then know some secret move that none of us know. That Billy just seems
Billy. Billy seems like he could also be in the mafia, which he could just like. Oh, Dylan's back with his truck noises.
I just had to chime in here and say that Dennis Fruder will play mind games with the bear.
That's true. Did you see that guy, that clip of him stomping on the foot of a 76er in the inbound?
Yes, sir.
That was awesome.
You don't want to come up with a bear with a thorn in their paw. Wait till you got Fruder's paw on his paw.
Yeah. That's a good point. So Dennis would be up there on the list. I think we were just going off size, but we're talking about wits. Dennis is probably the top tier guy. So yeah, that's. I think there's a few people depending on your angle that you want to go with this bear. I think you got some options on this team. So, all right, that's our show. Episode 250 in the books. First episode back with real basketball. It's an exciting time to be alive. So, as always, be sure to wash your hands with the coronavirus. Mask up. Don't forget to vote. Be sure to hoop when you can. And as always,
Thunder Roar!